Welcome to Rework, a podcast by Basecamp about the better way to work and run your business. I'm Sean Hildner.
I'm Waylon Wong.
And it's 2019, so let's talk about blogging.
We are going retro for the new year. Did you ever have a blog?
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, I think I had one as part of that time in my life when I was selling men's bathroom products on Etsy.
So you did content marketing?
Yeah.
Sean Hildner, content marketing since, what, 2000, and what year was that?
Oh, man, that would have been 2009, I think. How about you? Have you ever had a blog?
I did. I lived overseas right after college, and I started a blog to write about my experiences, because this is pre-Facebook, pre-Twitter, pre-Instagram, so this was the best way for friends and family back home to keep up on what I was doing. So I started a live journal, and it's still up.
That's amazing. What was it called?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, no.
And no, so I, a few years ago, I challenged my husband to find it, and he could not, even knowing everything that he knows about me, he was not able to find it. So this is the challenge. If any listener can find my live journal, I feel like I'm really just asking to get doxxed. But anyway, if you can find my live journal, DM me on Twitter, and I'll send you a prize.
Well, you heard it here first. But why are we talking about blogging
today? I don't know. I just wanted to talk about my live journal.
So after promoting your live journal that you don't want anyone to find, why are we talking about blogging today?
Because you know who has a very OG blog? Is Basecamp.
We do.
Basecamp started Signal versus Noise in what, 1999?
Sounds right.
And we actually covered a lot of Basecamp's early blogging journey in the very first episode of Rework. So I won't go over all of that again. I'll link to that episode in the show notes. For a long time, Basecamp hosted Signal versus Noise ourselves. We had an in-house editing platform called Blog Cabin.
It's the most adorable name we've ever come up with.
It's great. And I remember not really knowing how to use it because, you know, we work with all web developers and designers. And so I think Blog Cabin assumed a level of familiarity with HTML markup, which I didn't really have. But, you know, I survived. It was fine. And then we switched to Medium for reasons we'll get into later. That was at the end of 2015. And at the beginning of this year, 2019, we switched from Medium to WordPress. I talked to Jason Fried and our marketing designer, Adam Stoddard, who came up with the design for the new Signal versus Noise, about making that switch and embracing a more old-fashioned sensibility in how we do our blog. I wanted to ask you how the platform, the blogging platform, the technology, the software that you use to write, how it influences your writing and your desire to write.
Let's just say I found myself more recently not wanting to write for our blog because of the platform that we were on. So we were on Medium. Originally, I liked Medium because it was new, it was different. There's a lot of social sharing, which we didn't have with our previous platform. So it felt like a great way to get the word out. And for a while it was, because we were on early and we had a lot of readers. And so it was a big deal. But over time, I felt like I was writing more for Medium than I was writing for Signal versus Noise. And that's how Medium has sort of been changing. It feels more like it's, I mean, they stopped allowing you to register for custom domains.
Oh, I didn't realize that. So the one we have, you wouldn't be able to get something like that.
Correct. As far as I understand. So like we're grandfathered in, I believe, but we thought like maybe they could cut the rope on that at some point too. So it feels like everything's for Medium versus for the author or for the publication. There are some publications I think that might not be true, but for ours it certainly was. So I started to feel more and more like I was writing for Medium, which kind of tempered my enthusiasm, and I just wasn't really as excited about writing anymore. So I have been writing less and less because of that. I also found that, you know, every piece of software has opinions built into it. And so the opinions of Medium are like long form always, which I typically like, but there's a lot of short ideas I want to share that like I could extend or stretch into an article, but it'd be a bad article because like the idea was just a paragraph or so. And Medium has never felt like a friendly place to post that kind of stuff. Or if I just want to post three pictures or a quote that I liked, like I'd always have to wrap it in some story. But I have a lot of ideas that I want to share quickly, but so I would go to Twitter to do that. And so the medium or the plat both the platform the medium is sort of, it does influence what you write and how you write.
Signal versus noise, particularly on Medium, got to this place where it felt like the only thing you could write were kind of these like meaty, long think pieces. My name is Adam Stoddard, and I am a marketing designer here at Basecamp.
Y'all might know Adam from such hits as Basecamp.com and my favorite Rework.fm, but he also had some reservations about using Medium.
It was also the layout of Medium, where you have to click through to read anything, and that creates this kind of pressure to like justify that click through. Like if you click through something and it's like literally a word or a quote, just like, what the fuck was this? Like, why? I just wasted my time clicking through here.
To us, the issue is the business model. They made some announcements last year that made David and I start to question whether or not we wanted to stick with them long term. One was tied to the custom domain thing. Another one was subscriptions, but not quite subscriptions like from a business perspective, but for individuals to subscribe or individual authors to subscribe. It's like it didn't seem viable. They could have charged us, for example, $500 a month or something. We would have paid that, for example, to have an ad-free site with our own custom domain. Like, but that's not actually, as far as I know, at least it wasn't then, it probably still isn't an option. It's, again, this like advertiser-supported slash kind of subscription-supported slash whatever, but ultimately you're writing for Medium. And at that point, the business model just didn't feel compatible with where we wanted to go compared to something like WordPress, where like we pay per month for this service and like it's us. It doesn't have to say WordPress anywhere on the site. No one has to know. We can design it any way we want. You know, like Medium is not that way. There's a certain look to a Medium site and you don't have as much flexibility. And again, that's fine for people who are fine with that, but we just decided we weren't fine with it anymore.
And so we moved Signal versus Noise to WordPress.
There still will be plenty of long form pieces, but we could post literally just a video, just an image, a quote, all those things that you would have found back in the day on a Tumblog. You know, I think with everything that's happened with Facebook and like what happened with Tumblr and the kind of encroaching of Facebook into Instagram, I think people are kind of starting to realize that they've, you know, that they've been playing in someone else's pool, and that there's a cost to that. And that's definitely something we've realized internally and one of the reasons why we wanted to get off Medium and really kind of have it be fully independent.
The independence here is slightly qualified because WordPress is still someone else's platform, but it was the best of all the options considered, including taking the blog back in-house.
This, if we did it again, the same thing would have happened, which is that it would have gotten stale. We don't have a lot of time to dedicate to these additional internal tools. So, you know, our old blog platform, like we never added any social sharing because we just didn't. And who's going to have the time to, it's hard to, you know, allocate time for that sort of thing. So it felt like it was worth thinking about and thinking about why would we want to do it. And part of the reason was because we have a text editor that we built internally called Trix, which we use in Basecamp, and we thought we could make a Trix-based blog, and that would help improve Trix in other places, but it didn't seem like it was actually worth it in the end. So we decided to go with an established platform.
Yeah. I mean, is there a feeling of kind of like, eh, when you realize you've got to pack up and move again?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not really. We were smart about a couple things. So we had a custom domain, which means we can point those URLs that were linked on Medium will still work on the new blog. So if you do a Google search or something and there's something in the search results, so we're safe there. We've imported with WordPress's help, we've imported all the content into WordPress from Medium. So we haven't lost anything. And you know, frankly, even if we did, it wouldn't matter. I feel like, yeah, I don't care. Like we've done this before in the past, like old blogs, like many generations ago, they're just gone. And it just doesn't, I don't really care. It doesn't matter. Like it's just, if it's out there in the archive somewhere, it's out there. If it's not, it's not. Like I don't need to save every piece of writing I've ever written. There's no reason for that. So, but we did plan ahead just in case. So I think we're all right. I think we did the best we could.
There was another reason for choosing WordPress, which is that their company ethos lines up with Basecamp in a lot of ways.
They're a lot like us. So they've been around, I don't know, I'm going to get this wrong, 10, 15 years, maybe longer. I'm not even sure. And we've been around for almost 20 years. And they're 100% remote. And we're not 100% remote, but we're mostly remote. They've raised money, but they have an independent – I mean, they're an independent company. Matt Mullenweg, I've known him for years. He's a really interesting guy. They've built a really cool crew over there, good product. They're focused on one thing. Or they actually, they have a variety of other things too, but WordPress, the publishing tool, is really their main thing. And it just felt like that was a cool company to support. But we did talk about that because there was a few other options and I can't remember the other finalists, but we just felt like WordPress was similar to us in a way where we could get behind them. They've been around for the long haul. I talked to Matt about it, Matt Mullenweg, and he's like, we're going to be here forever. And I believed him, just like we, you know, of course, forever is not true, but like long enough, right? They're not going to be, because some of the other ones we looked at were really interesting, but new, and you just don't know. Like, are they going to be around in 3 years? It's hard to tell. WordPress seems like they're going to be around. We want to support that kind of longevity and that kind of independence. So that was an easier decision, I think. Yeah, because of that, and also just the community around it and the network behind it and the plugins available and all these things. It was just like it made it possible to extend what we want to do with SVN. We also wanted to bring some personality back to the blog. So if you look at the new design, it's different than we've had before. It's a little bit more colorful. We can play with it in ways that we couldn't with Medium because it was kind of fixed in this. I mean, there's different templates you can kind of play with, but essentially it's fixed.
Yeah, like Medium just has a look.
Has a look. And the look is actually really nice. And that's one of the nice things about it is that if you're new, especially to publishing, and you want to write something, and you want it to look good, and their editor is fantastic. I don't mean like their human editor. I mean like their text editor is really nice. Mm-hmm. It's a great place to write. It feels great, and it looks great by default, which is a big win. But we wanted some flexibility and some personality back, and wanted to kind of own the experience a bit more.
I really wanted to kind of go back to basics and have it just be this single stream of text that you just read, like. You land on the site and you just start reading and you can read the full post right there on the page and you scroll and read and it's this really natural thing. And there's no, you know, one of the problems with like modern blogs is there's so much shit around the actual thing that you want to read. And it, you know, and in a lot of places it's advertising, but it's also not advertising. It's like, here's 12 related articles and a billion tags and all these categories, and it's just kind of overwhelming. So we really wanted to just kind of pare it down and have it be this just kind of nice, simple thing. You know, I think like Safari's reader mode is kind of an indictment of how a lot of blogs in particular are bet. Like that is a band-aid on a serious problem. It's because people are making websites that at the end of the day isn't putting the content front and center. And that's really what we wanted to do. And then in terms of just kind of aesthetics, I went through a bunch of different looks. Like there was kind of a more like vintage electronics theme that I was running with for a while. But I really... once I kind of tried this more kind of poppy electric direction, I don't know, that felt really nice for where we wanted to go. It just feels a little more, I don't know, it feels nice for a blog that's been around for so long to really kind of change up the aesthetic direction and just kind of have something that's a little, just kind of makes a different statement and stands out in a different way than it has in the past.
And also, we're going to change the design up, I think, more frequently. Like the masthead at the top, we're going to play with that maybe every month or so. I don't know. Adam and I have been talking about just messing around with it in a way where it's more of an art project and just kind of treating SVN as a fun place to write, to express ourselves visually as well with the design and play around in ways that we probably pretty much haven't with Medium. Like we kind of changed the color once. I think that was all we were able to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's more of an artistic playground, and I think is how we're going to start to see it again. And I think that was always what made it fresh for us. And now it feels a little bit more like corporate in a sense because it's in this like rigid template. And we're breaking free of that.
Yeah. You should have like seasonal mastheads.
We've talked about that. Yeah. Adam did some wonderful, interesting mastheads that are really colorful and totally like, quote, off brand. You know, like, who knows what our brand look is, but like, it's clearly like not us in a great way. And I was excited about a number of them. So I think we're going to like play with them. Maybe we'll randomize them. Maybe like every time you load it, there'll be a different one, or we can throw some more in the pile or take some out, or yeah, play with snow or sun or whatever it is. Yeah. It'd be cool too if we could detect via your IP if you're coming from Australia or something, and or like the Southern Hemisphere, and flip the design.
Yeah,
it'd be kind of fun. So it's like, you know, summer there now. But I think, and maybe even I think, I don't know. I don't think you designed it this way, but we talked about, I believe, at night, depending on where your time zone is, like having the design dimmed out, or like play with that a little bit, and just kind of having some fun again with that, because we don't have a lot of room to do that with other projects that we have. So I think it'll be kind of fun to play with that. Yeah.
It's interesting. Before I sat down here, I looked up the old posts we did about moving to media. And they're just full of such unbridled enthusiasm, you know, which is the way it goes, right? Because then after you have some experience with something, you kind of gain more of a understanding of it, or your understanding of it changes, or your experience with it changes. But one thing you had said, that you were excited about the social sharing tools and reaching a bigger audience and testing some different things for distributing your writing. And do you feel like you like tapped that out? Did that live up to its promise? And now you're ready to not rely on the social sharing as much?
Yeah, I think it did live up to its promise initially. So before we switched to Medium, basically the only way we got the word out was either RSS subscriptions to our blog, or I think we would post stuff on Twitter or something. And I felt like we capped out or tapped out that audience. And what was interesting, I think, about Medium at the time was that they had really nice social sharing tools, especially with Twitter, and you could like suck some text and it would embed an attachment image, and it just had like a nice feel to it. And I feel like we're able to reach a whole new set of people that way that we couldn't before. But at some point, again, you sort of maybe tap that out too. And you also begin to discount perhaps the value of social sharing in that way. And you start to think about, you know, how can we build our own readership back that we own is the wrong term, but like I'm going to use it. We don't, of course, own the readership, but like that we control. So for example, with the new blog, we're going to be allowing people to sign up for a newsletter, an email newsletter, where we send every week, we just send out a list of the posts via email. We couldn't do that on Medium, I don't think. At least it wasn't built in, or if it wasn't obvious.
But email is this kind of like wonderful universal conduit for things. And without the syndication that Medium provides, we really needed a way for people to easily keep tabs on SVN without actually having to go visit the site on a daily basis. And that's also why, like, there's no social sharing buttons on the blog. Those are the worst. Like, and I mean, honestly, in my experience, people don't use them. So it's just, again, this like clutter that that gets added to every website that is marginally justifiable, that like you do it just because like that's the thing you do.
But also, I'm going to be excited to write again because of the different content types we now have again, because there's a lot of short things I want to share, and we went into this in the beginning, but that's sort of interesting. I think changing platforms just gives it a breath of fresh air as well. I hope more people here will write on SVN now.
I can see plenty of times where like, oh, here's, I'm going to post up a gallery of like process images for this thing that I was working on. As opposed to like, oh, I'm going to take, you know, what feels like an inordinate amount of hours to write this long, meaty, post on SVN. And I've done that a few times. But you know, I don't often feel like I have something so profound to say that I'm going to, that hasn't been said, first of all, you know, make me feel compelled to spend the time to write a post about it. But like with kind of a lower threshold, and not even a lower threshold, but just more kind of acceptance of the different kind of posts. Yeah, I think I'll end up posting a lot more actually.
Rework is produced by Waylon Wong and me, Sean Hildner. Our theme song is Broken by Design by Clipart.
You can find our website at rework.fm, and you can find, most importantly, our new blog at signalvnoise.com. grew up in the Midwest, did you have a neighbor, or maybe your mom did this, I don't know, who had like a cement goose on their doorstep?
Give me some more details. It sounds kind of familiar, strangely, but I don't know what you mean.
It's like a Midwestern thing to have a decorative goose made out of usually like cement, like it's very heavy, yeah, and it sits on your doorstep. It's like an outdoor decorative thing.
Yeah.
And you buy outfits for it so you can like dress it up for the seasons.
Yeah.
And my piano teacher growing up had one, and it was like one of my favorite things to go to her house and then see how the goose was dressed up. Because,
yeah,
you know, for the holidays, you might have a Santa hat, and then springtime, it would have like an Easter bonnet or whatever. And anyway.
I'm trying to remember now. I feel like our neighbors may have had something like that, but in the back of our house, my parents have a rusty duck,
okay,
which is a little bit different,
yeah,
but similar. they have some strange animals. They get like these, they go to these art shows, you know, on the weekends in the suburbs, and like, you know, they get like, you know, those like, animals made of like industrial parts,
yeah,
like gears for the alley. Yeah. Like a frog made of, you know, like an old car fender and like, you know, springs for the ears or whatever. So they've got like some rusty old animals in the back, which are probably definitely like safety hazards at this point. They've been like rusting away.
I once, I was at the store 1000 Villages, you know, and it sells kind of artisanal objects usually from around the world. And there's one in my town, and they had like a bird that was made out of like little like salvaged metal parts.
Yep.
And I picked it up in such a way that it just sliced my hand open.
Shit.
And I like bled profusely.
In the store.
I mean,
like rusty metal too.
Yes.
Tetanus shot. They had one in the back. Just like gave you one real quick.
I didn't even realize it until I was like trying to pay for something.
Yeah.
And like, this drop of blood appeared in my wallet, and then my girlfriend was like,
"It's creepy.
You are bleeding." And then I was like, "Oh, it was that like metal bird thing I picked up." And I got like hustled to like the employee bathroom, and I like bled all over their sink.
God.
It was so embarrassing.
I love that that's the emotion. It's like, it was embarrassing, not like it hurt or anything like that. I was going to die. So no, I could see that. I mean, those things seem so sharp and so dangerous and rusty, and like, there's just nails sticking out of them, and it's not good.
Yeah.
So we have that in our backyard.
Okay. Well, that'll be like inspo for the changing masthead on SVN then.
Yes.
Which is how we got on this.
We could maybe do a goose in the masthead, and like only the Midwesterners would get it.
I'm going to pitch that to Adam.
Yeah, do it.
Who's from California, so
he'll
be
like, what the hell are you talking
confused
about? Well, we could do like regional things, regional specialties, you know?
Yes.